This is Andy Kaufman, president of the Institute for Leadership Excellence Development Corporate. Thank you for joining us for this special premium edition of the People and Projects podcast. Check out this quote from Daniel J. Burstyn. He said, "The greatest obstacle to discovery is not ignorance. It's the illusion of knowledge." Man, how often have we kidded ourselves that we knew something only to get more data or evidence later on that made it clear we didn't have the full story? You know, it happens all the time. At least it does to me. And probably far more than what we realize. You know, I find a related observation when it comes to attention. We think we see the world or maybe situations or perhaps people clearly, but inevitably it's all being filtered through lenses. It could be argued that we have an illusion of observation. Have you ever seen the famous video that asks you to count the number of times a basketball has passed between a group of college students? If you're listening to this on an MP3 device and not on the website, make sure to go to the website and check out the YouTube video that I put a link there. It's really interesting. I gotta tell you, selective attention is alive and well. And for all of us who desire to lead and deliver, we need to be acutely aware of how it works. Well, in this premium episode, I want to take some time to highlight some points from the interview with Kathy to help you put the learning into action. First, let's start getting our arms wrapped around Kathy's point that our schools and workplaces are often more designed for the early 20th century instead of the 21st. Now, we may not have control of how our schooling was structured, but let's start thinking about how we best go about helping ourselves and our team learn and work going forward. How about finding ways to embrace collaborative technologies in new and interesting ways instead of making people check them at the door? For example, typical meeting protocol is to discourage people from using their laptops and cell phones during meetings. But why not encourage people to be texting and chatting during meetings, especially virtual ones? Now, if this sounds like heresy, like it's dangerous or rude or a recipe for chaos for meetings, that's okay. It's the years of conditioning that we've had. I've had the same. You know what? IBM has found that by actively encouraging chatting during virtual meetings, it keeps people more engaged. I've experimented with this myself and found that it can significantly change the culture of web-based meetings for the positive. In Kathy's book, she lays out a strong case for how IBM uses what they call back-channeling to leverage technology in meetings. Second, and related, here's a tip I learned years ago. If people are moving their attention to their laptops or other devices, it may not just be that they're being rude. I mean, that's always a possibility, of course, but here's my point. It just could be that the meeting is boring and irrelevant. I've learned that if someone isn't paying attention when I'm facilitating, the problem may not be them, it may be me. Find ways to more fully engage people. Maybe it's a different venue. Maybe it's hosting the meeting on Second Life. How about this? I love using a system called Poll Everywhere that allows people to respond to a poll by texting their responses. It's an inexpensive tool and shows the results in real time. I love it. It's fun and engaging. So let's realize that asking people to check their electronics at the door causes us to miss opportunities to engage them. Third, a proven project management and leadership principle is to involve others in the planning, right? I mean, we've heard that before. I've often said we need to make sure that N is greater than one. But the point brought up in the discussion with Kathy is that it shouldn't just be in addition to me, but also different from me. Diversity of thought is not just something to do because it's politically correct. It's just plain more effective. Kathy's organization calls it collaboration by difference. As she mentions in the interview, we often say we want diversity of thought and skills and opinions, but then we recruit in our own image. Whether at work or in our personal lives, there's value in collaboration by difference, surrounding ourselves with people who don't just look and think and see the same as we do. Fourth, remember that technology is here to serve us, not the other way around. If you're finding that social networking or your handheld device or some new software tool is chewing up too much of your time, the problem may not be the technology. It might just be me. It might just be you. We need new habits for the new technology. That's the deal. I found this simple little cube timer. It's a handy way to block out some time to focus on one thing. If you're listening to this on an MP3 player instead of off the website, check out the website for a link to this cube timer. When it goes off, then I can, in what Tony Schwartz says, pulse to something else. In some situations, I find it best to close my web browser or shut down my mail client. At times, I completely turn off my phone. I love Kathy's idea of using a different computer, let's say, for some of the more fun things, or at least get up and move as part of your switching. Make the technology work for you. It's not the enemy. We just need new habits. Finally, As much as interruptions from others is frustrating, and there's plenty of it, remember what Kathy and I talked about regarding Gloria Mark's research on distractions? 44% of the distractions didn't come from others. Rather, it came from us. As Kathy said, heartache and heartburn are more distracting than technology. I thought that was clever. Work on calming your own distractions for disciplining them. I'm finding that using a Kanban board at home is helping me and my family stay more focused on the most important projects at work and at home. And David Allen's teaching on getting things out of our mind and onto a list can be helpful as well. Realize we're often our own worst enemy when it comes to distractions. Well, you know what? I suppose it's fair to say Kathy's book isn't for everyone, but the lessons are relevant for us all. If you're particularly interested in how to improve education or learning and the workplace to be better prepared for today's demands, I recommend you get a copy of Kathy Davidson's book. What's a challenge you're having in managing your attention, or perhaps the attention of those in your team? Send me an email at andy@i-leadonline.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Quick reminder, I'd love to have you join the discussion on our Facebook page. Check out the show notes for a link to the page. I invite you to like it and then join the discussion. Well, thank you for being a premium subscriber to the People and Projects podcast. Please don't hesitate to let me know if you've got a question, if there's anything I can do to help you lead and deliver. And thank you for joining me for this premium episode of the People and Projects podcast. Have a great week.